June 23, 2006. Episode number 28. Phone interview with Eric Holly of GPS, the movie.
This is Paul Kanapaki, and you are listening to podcast number 28. This is also my first telephone interview. I originally attempted to make this happen over a Skype call, but after a lot of work, configuration of microphones, it just didn't happen in time for the scheduled interview. So we resorted to good old Radio Shack product, which will record your analog phone conversation. And you are going to hear me talk to Eric Colley, who is a writer, director, producer of the GPS movie. You may have heard a little bit about it or rumors about it in the past year or so on geocaching forums. Based on what they say on the website, the movie is about a group of adventure-seeking college kids embarking on a GPS treasure hunt in the Northwest wilderness. They are led to believe they will find $2 million in cash. Wouldn't that be nice? When they arrive at the treasure location, they find what appears to be a grave. They dig up the grave to find a small coffin. What they find inside is shocking. Are the contents of the coffin real, or is it part of the game? There is a companion game to this that Eric will talk about as well. It is described on their website as the ultimate gaming experience that combines online puzzles, live GPS hunts, and a mystery involving the very same characters you will see in the soon-to-be-released movie. What you hear next is a conversation that Eric and I had the other night, and we discussed the movie, his involvement in the film industry, his feelings about independent filmmaking versus Hollywood films. So here's the podcast interview.
This is Eric.
Yeah, Eric, Paul.
Hey, how's it going? Are my waveforms coming through? Wavelengths?
Yep.
Since I've been like 6 years old, I've always wanted to be a filmmaker. I started out quite a few years ago with a little 8mm silent camera, and me and my little brother would go out and film stuff, army movies and things like that.
What was it, though, that first made you want to try it out in the first place? I mean, was it encouragement from your family? Was it a film that you saw?
A lot of people ask me that question, and it's actually, I try and think back, it's some movie that I saw or some inspiration, and I honestly don't know. I've always been interested in, fictional stories, fantasy, and just a child's imagination. Somehow, I started writing a script when I was, like, in the third grade. You have that imagination thing, I guess, that
right.
Kids have, and naturally went into, how do I put that into something that I can entertain people with, and ended up being movies. Back when I was, I'm 34, and I guess it wasn't too long ago, but this whole revolution of video cameras kind of has grown and happened pretty fast, but back when I was really interested in it, it was, 8mm film was pretty much my only option. I had no sound, I couldn't edit, and I didn't have the money to do anything anyway, so it was a lot of in-camera editing and just interesting, fun things that we'd put together that meant nothing. The story was terrible, but it was just fun to do. And then later, as time went on, video cameras came out, and we had one of those big, heavy shoulder cam video cameras that, lug around the VCR with it and everything else. It got a little more interesting. The only drawback that I had as far as a time frame where I dropped off the scene was because of money and technology capabilities. So when I got out of school and ended up going to college, I was like, wow, should I go to film school? Should I go to business school? Back then, to make a movie, it was quite expensive. You had to shoot on film, and it was, and the talk was basically, you can scrape together a ton of money to make a movie, but you'll probably lose your butt, and then you're just spend your life paying it back. So back then, I was like, well, it makes a lot more sense to go to business school and make some money first, and okay. then actually get into it.
But at some point, it stopped being just something you want to do for fun and something that you thought seriously as a career.
It's just been in the last probably 5 or so years that I've really concentrated on it. Definitely the technology has allowed me to get a little more creative and actually practice, I guess you would say, with short okay. films, things like that.
You currently consider yourself a writer, producer, director as a profession, or is there something else that you do to supplement your income?
I also own a website design and hosting company, so I do a lot of network and website stuff and things like that.
So one of my questions was going to be, who is designing your website for the GPS the game, but obviously that's you and your company that's doing that.
Yeah, that would be me.
Is this your first indie film?
This is my first full-length feature film.
Okay, and what differentiates a short film to a full-length film?
A lot of work and money. Usually a full-length would be around 85 minutes or more.
Okay.
Our film comes in probably at about 99 minutes.
Do you eat, sleep, and drink movies now, or do you say, it's 5 o'clock, I got to go home and I have to mow the lawn?
I wish. No, it's definitely, especially as an indie film, where your budget's a lot tighter than Hollywood shooting a $200 million movie, it's definitely consumes your life, and you eat, sleep, and drink GPS.
What point did you start getting other people involved and say, this is really going to be a movie?
As far as time frames, I have to ask my producer. She's a lot better at that than I am. But it's been a few years now, more than a few years, since the actual script was written. The rough draft was written. I brought on another writer who's also my producer, Hallie Shepherd. Okay. We went over it basically with a fine-tooth comb and tried to make it better for another 12 months. We needed to bring on a third writer even to try and get just a third opinion, because I felt like it was a good story, but it wasn't a great story. That's what we were trying to get to, because if we were going to spend a ton of time and money on our first film, we wanted to make sure it started out as a great script.
Once you got into it and realized this is not really what we thought, how much rewriting and refilming did you have to do before you got to the point where you said it's in the can?
Well, actually, I just printed out one of the final versions for our sound guy to take a look at, and it was version 36P. So,
is that like take one, take two, take 36?
Well, each new revision, we would basically create a new draft. So we went through 36, but then the P is actually 36. When we started shooting, was the final draft, but then as we shot, we made small changes, so each time that would change letters, so it would be A, B, C, D, all the way to P. So the whole writing process took 2 to 3 years.
Now is the point where you're building up to the release, so you're generating a lot of interest and a lot of anticipation.
Right. We actually tried to keep it pretty secret as long as we could, because we knew the idea was original. It wasn't your basic love story or romantic story where
right.
you could pretty much do it at any time. You wouldn't have to worry about somebody stealing your story idea. And it was just a matter of time before somebody came up with the idea and actually did it.
Right.
And now there's multiple movies in the process, but luckily we've beat them to the punch. You know, when we went to L.A. initially, we had not spoke a word of it until we went down there and made a lot of deals to get the movie done. Yeah, at this point now, it's out there, and we're definitely trying to spread the word as much as we can and build the buzz.
It says, based on actual events.
A lot of our ideas were inspired from things that happen in real life, and the whole use of based on, inspired by lately is being really overused, and we're really considering just completely taking that out because
okay.
it's so overused right now. When this idea first popped in my head, which was, gosh, many years ago, a friend of mine had told me about these scavenger hunts people are doing with GPS units. I didn't know anything about the sport or the hobby or
right.
who was doing it. I did a little research. I ran into a few different companies that were doing it. One that interested me the most was actually one in Canada. They were doing more of an adventure type, more action-oriented type GPS scavenger hunts.
Okay, more competitive type.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's what kind of caught my eye. And I did just like the idea of basically the journey of going on a hunt. You know, I grew up in the middle of the woods, basically. So as a kid, that's all we did is go out and, you know, explore is what we called it. To me, that's pretty much what the whole thing is about. It's just getting out and actually getting out from in front of your TV or your computer.
Right. Is this movie based in Seattle, or was it filmed in Seattle, and is that where you live?
We do live in Washington State,
okay.
most of the crew. A lot of the actors and crew were also from all over the United States and even Canada, but
okay.
It was based and shot primarily in Washington.
When you started looking for people to help out, did you first go to your friends, or did you just publish it on IndieClub.com and see what came out of that?
We actually went directly to Indie Club, which is the filmmaking organization that I started about 8 years ago now. There's like over 30,000 members all over the world of filmmakers, actors, and crew, and so I wanted to use that resource to our advantage, as well as hopefully use that as a marketing piece that we shot the entire thing with Indie Club members. And so we basically did something that was kind of unusual. We put out a casting call to everybody, basically, in our organization and allowed them to submit headshots. And once they did that, we would take a look at them and see, you know, who fits. And then we would say, okay, well, if you're still interested, send us a video of yourself doing these scenes. And so we'd give them a couple of scenes to do, and they'd send them in. And so we had hundreds of submissions from all over the United States. That's kind of how we cast the film.
Or how did that whole process come about where you were managing the whole production?
Right. Well, Hallie Shepard helped me produce it, which is, thank her to high heaven, she did a fantastic job. She's amazingly intelligent. She's an actress. Normally, it took some begging to get her to help me produce it because it takes a ton of time, and I don't think she understood how long and how much time it takes to actually produce a film. But When we finally decided, you know, we have to shoot this thing, it was like middle of the summer. I don't remember what year. It's been 3 or 4 years now. I guess it hasn't been that long. We had to basically jump on it because we were afraid somebody else was going to shoot it if we didn't shoot it immediately. So once we decided to go for it and we knew we had some funding behind us, our pre-production went amazingly fast, which, you know, normally you don't necessarily want to have a really fast pre-production, but pre-production was probably 4 or 5 months, and then we shot for approximately 4 weeks straight, basically 6-day weeks and no long days, a pretty normal film shoot. Probably 6 months or longer down the line, we did about a week of pickup shots, which are basically, you know, shots that we felt like we missed or wanted to do better. And then we spent a ton of time in the editing room and working on sound and color correction and all the fine details. We have a lot of investors behind us, but they're all very supportive, and they have been since the beginning. They have not been the ones that have been putting pressure on us. It's been myself and Hallie. So it's always been us pushing ourselves to make sure that we stay within budget and also to get the job done very well, basically. I mean, in some cases, we've taken longer than we should have, but we wanted to make sure it was done right as opposed to trying to hurry the product along.
How much research did you guys do as to how GPS technology worked, what kind of equipment would you need to use, the logistics of it all, like you can't get a signal when you're in a tunnel, you know, if they didn't change their batteries, how can they have their thing, their unit working, and if they never change their batteries?
When I first wrote the script, it was a rough, you know, concept of GPS treasure hunting, basically, and the concept of going out and finding something in the woods using your GPS unit. And so, yeah, I did a lot of basic research, you know, how GPS units work and how if I was to play a very adventurous, fun, fast-paced game, how would it work? And so we kind of created our own concept based on what we felt would be a fun, interesting, you know, game, basically.
Okay.
But it was interesting when, you know, we hired the actors, some of the actors did their own research. Paul Proyos, who plays Bob in the movie, actually came up with some, even, you know, terms that I hadn't even heard of. And I tried searching some of it, and I couldn't even find some of the terms he was pulling out.
Right. I guess if you're into it that much, into any hobby, you have your own secret codes and acronyms.
Paul actually is the one that wrote the GPS song, and there's some technical terms in there. Like
right.
Eat up to 12, and different things that he threw in there.
Yeah.
So everybody had fun with the technology terms.
I noticed there is no mention of geocaching, that word, anywhere within the website or the game web pages. Have you deliberately tried to avoid that, or somebody said, please don't use that term?
Well, from the very beginning, way back when, after I started writing, I started doing more research and finding out, you know, who were the big companies. And it seemed like as time was going on, geocaching kind of became the main hub or the main company out there, the website out there.
Right.
So we did talk to Jeremy way back when just to see kind of what their target market was and what they see as their sport as compared to our concept of what our game idea was. And, you know, they were very different. Geocaching is very targeted towards families and things like that.
Right.
And ours is not necessarily...
You're not trying to represent geocaching in your movie.
No, not at all.
You happen to be using GPS technology as part of the storyline.
Right. And, you know, geocaching is great. What it sounds like, it's probably where, you know, everything kind of started from as far as the whole concept. Yeah, I mean, when we were talking to Jeremy, their target market is very family-oriented. And as far as this suspense thriller, we kind of decided that we might want to not have any affiliations with them for their purposes more than ours, probably. Even though our film is targeted at PG-13, it's still,
right,
you know, it's somewhat of a dark suspense thriller, so we didn't want to.
And nobody wants to say, oh, that GPS movie ruined the geocaching sport.
Exactly, yeah.
It was good until that movie came along.
Yeah, and also, you know, our game that we created, our whole concept is really different than,
right,
than geocaching. Geocaching's more about going out on a hike and finding, you know, some trinkets, and ours is more about high-stakes adventure. And
during your research, did you look up anything or find anything out about the Magellan treasure hunt that they have every year?
Yeah, actually, we talked to the guy that actually was putting those together,
okay,
and we have been in talks with them as far as initially we were going to partner with them.
But
so we were talking about integrating ours with theirs, but the deal just never...
Yeah, timing just probably wasn't right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is there going to be a behind-the-scenes DVD coming out after the movie?
Well, there will definitely, of course, be the behind-the-scenes stuff on the DVD. And we're also releasing some of that stuff via the game as you progress during levels. There's all kinds of goofy...
Yeah, I heard there were some secrets that are revealed.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. But the shoot was great. I mean, we had a lot of fun. Part of the shoot was done out on the peninsula in Washington State, and which is way out, basically in the middle of nowhere. There's not really convenient hotels that are close by, so we ended up actually renting out a summer camp, basically. A lot of the cast and crew for probably a week slept on these bunk beds where we were all basically in the same longhouse type situation. So that was kind of a good bonding experience for
right,
everybody. But there was one time when somebody had like a fake arrow thing that was going through their chest, just going around, and somebody ran into the mess hall, basically, and our caterer, the production coordinator ran in there going, oh my God, somebody got shot with an arrow. I don't know where they got this arrow thing, and my caterer, I mean, talk about moving to action. He ran over to the first aid kit, and it was locked. He ripped it off the wall and was like kicking open this filing cabinet, trying to get something to help. And I mean, people were screaming, it's just a joke, it's just a joke. And that was pretty crazy.
You are credited as director, writer, producer, and editor. Did you have any cameos yourself?
I did.
Are you the Bigfoot walking through the woods?
Yeah, I can't remember if it's in the trailer, but I actually play the newscaster in one of the scenes, actually on the little TV, so, you know, not a real big primary piece of the puzzle, but...
Right. Well, you know,
cameo.
In the in the footsteps of Hitchcock, I guess.
There you go.
When is the official release of the movie, and where can people see it when it gets released?
Well, hopefully you'll just go down the street and see it in your local theater, or definitely in a video store near you. We haven't, we're still in negotiations with different studios and distributors, so we don't have a specific date yet, but it should be later this year when it's actually released.
Is it going to be released right to video, or is it going to be shown at some indie theaters?
Well, hopefully it'll be shown in some theaters, definitely. It eventually makes the DVD rounds as well.
There are two main pieces of your website. One that talks about the movie, cast and crew, a little bit about your sponsors. The other half of the website is devoted to what you're calling GPS the Game.
GPS the Game was basically a concept that we had from way back in the beginning when we were pitching our investors, which was to have this adventure-type game that would have information from the movie, and it would be interactive, and it would be just a fun-type game. In the last couple months, we've been finishing the development on that. We basically wanted to take all the cool ideas that we would like to see in a game and put that into an online and real-life interactive GPS hunt type adventure. And so when we did that, we created this online game, which is basically you go to the website, you become a player, and you have to find these treasure codes that can be hidden around the internet, or there are clues to find out what these treasure codes are. And then you type in the treasure code, and it gives you some kind of puzzle or a riddle. If you're able to answer that question, you get points. Sometimes there's extra bonus things. And as you increase in levels, you get different bonuses, like behind-the-scenes videos and things like that you can see.
There's an online portion where you earn your points by solving puzzles. The other half of that is what are called live caches.
Live GPS hunts.
You earn points for finding those as well.
Basically the way the point system works for that, you hide one of our treasure boxes, which contain, there's also a mystery that involves the characters. It's kind of a prequel to the movie. It's like the characters were involved in this incident 6 years earlier, and so there's a mystery that the players are trying to solve throughout the game. Live GPS hunt, basically, okay, is where you get a treasure box from us that contains clues to the online mystery, and it also contains some special treasure codes and some special bonus stuff that people can find. And so they're hidden all over the United States and some in Canada right now. The game started on June 1st. It's basically a pre-launch with all the online puzzles. On July 1st, we're going to start releasing the actual live GPS hunts. The end of the game is, I believe, Halloween.
There are winners based on a number of points, maximum number of points earned?
Basically what we're doing is we're taking the top 200 scores, and we're having two scoring systems, the people who play just online and also the people who do live treasure hunts. Their points will be combined, and so you can actually qualify in two different groups if you want. And what happens is we'll take the top 200 scores, and if you're tied within that, you can also be still make that top 100, so it could actually be, or top 200 still could be more than 200 people. But
okay,
and then we'll do a drawing, and those top people will be part of the BeTheAdventure.com adventure.
What is BeTheAdventure.com?
Picture yourself part of a role-playing game, but you are playing yourself and you're thrown into an adventure involving GPS units and other fun stuff. You're basically thrown into a mystery with characters from the movie. You're basically going to experience a live role-playing game.
So it's a further extension of the movie. Basically, if you've seen the movie or you played the game, you'll probably be interested in BeTheAdventure.com.
Yeah, or if you're just at all interested with really cool interactive gaming things. What we tried to do is come up with a real game where we could bring people in, because initially we thought, let's have a live GPS hunt. And then we thought, well, how can we make that even more interesting? We've seen these different things where you can be part of a role-playing game, or you can be part of a mystery theater, or all these different things. But we felt like every one of them was missing something. The realism of you feeling like you're actually in the story.
Right.
And that's what we wanted to create, and that's what we've put together, which is going to be really cool. It's one of those things that you're not going to really understand it until you experience it. At the same time, we can't give too much away because it'll spoil some of the surprise.
So it is somewhat secretive.
But it should be fun. I think that anybody who experiences it will really enjoy it. So far, the online game's going great. We're getting amazing feedback from people, and they're just excited to be a part of it. So.
The physical caches get placed. How are you placing those? You're involving some volunteers around the country?
Initially, we had a volunteer form on our website that people signed up on, and we picked the first 150 people, and luckily they were pretty spread out throughout the United States and part of Canada. We gave them the 150 treasure boxes, so 150 will be put all over. We also felt like, okay, well, maybe we should give the option to other people who want to hide it, because that is part of the fun, is actually going out and being your own, you know, dungeon master or whatever. We're also selling those boxes at as low a cost as we can, our cost, just to allow people to do that. So what you'll be able to do is you'll find some bonus stuff that I won't mention, and also you'll find some things that you can basically plug it into the website and get additional puzzles and points and things like that.
So. When the game is over, are you going to need those boxes back, or whoever placed those boxes, is their responsibility now to do with whatever they want?
Their responsibility to maintain and control those boxes, and once the game is over, they're more than welcome to keep those for whatever purposes they would like. The game is just a fun online experience. It's a little more adventurous, and it's got more mystery, and it's more of a competitive, fun nature. And we're getting a ton of emails from people talking about how they're just addicted to the game already and just having a ton of fun. So that's great for us to hear, because it is a ton of work. But, you know, hopefully it builds some buzz about our movie, which is our ultimate baby and what we hope people enjoy. It's a suspense thriller, but at the same time, it's not a hardcore suspense thriller. It was made to be a fun movie, and hopefully people will enjoy it.
Are you already in the works for your next movie?
Well, Hallie is also a writer, and she's working on a script, but right now I'm so focused on GPS that I couldn't think of anything else at the moment.
The work that you've done on this indie film is different from how things are done in Hollywood. What are some of the things that you were able to do on this movie that you couldn't have done the traditional way if you went through the major studios?
Well, I think the biggest thing is probably your freedom of choice. If you're in the Hollywood system, you're going to be controlled a lot more by the producers and the studios deciding how they want to cut the film, or, final decisions basically will be up to them as opposed to the directors. However, you know, the benefit of doing a Hollywood film is that they have a lot more money to spend.
Right.
You know, we're on a tighter budget, and we do the best we can with what we have, but that can, you know, cause creativeness and more interesting results sometimes. It's just a lot of fun to make a movie. It's a ton of work. I mean, much more work than anybody could possibly imagine, but it is fun, and that's what I enjoy doing. And so, you know, whether this causes great things to happen as far as in Hollywood or not, I'd just be happy to be able to make another movie. Yeah, I actually just shot a two-day commercial, and I think we probably used that same camera you're talking about, the HPX 200,
yeah,
the one that takes those little P2 cards. Hmm. But it looked really good. Well, you know, we shot on, you know, when it comes to a feature film, you want to make sure that you're shooting in the highest quality you can. Last thing we wanted to do is shoot on something low quality or with low production value and not be able to actually get it out there for people to see. Mm-hmm. We actually shot using Sony's HD cameras. It's the same camera that George Lucas shot Star Wars on.
Okay.
We stayed on HD the entire time. What came off of the HD cam, we edited in the computer, and then we'll go back to a final high-res format. The main thing when you're shooting on HD is to use film lenses. You can use basically news-type video lenses, or you can use actual film lenses. Film lenses will give you that shallow depth of field and make it look like it's a movie. We did shoot at 24 frames a second, which is what
24, okay, yeah.
35 millimeter film shoots at. So you do. There is a little bit of a look difference, I guess that would be.
Fewer frames, doesn't that mean a choppy movie?
Yeah. It definitely, when the camera's moving or you have different movement, you can definitely
see that.
Yeah. You know, that's arguable with, you know, anybody. More and more people are getting used to 29.97, which is the standard TV or video frame rate, which we're used to seeing. I think it's just a perception of your eyes and what you're used to as far as what you're see on the film screen or as opposed to TVs. We had a great sound mixer. You know, he was from LA. Sound's very important, so we, you know, hired a really good guy from LA to come down, and he enjoyed it. And he was just a great attitude and just a great guy.
Did he normally do higher budget films? But
yeah, he worked on Spider-Man and stuff like that. So he's definitely knew what he was doing. If you can get a great sound mix from the start, it's much easier when you go into post and you're trying to fix those things. There's some music from some indie bands and people that we knew. Paul's been associated with some different bands over the years because he's a musician, so we had a few connections. And we have a couple composers that worked on the film. Actually, possibly three, depending on how the sound edit gets cut down. But so we had some great composers, great sound people, and right now it's in LA getting its final sound mix.
Is the GPS Hunt MP3, is that like the main advertising for the movie, or is it just one of many songs that are...
That's just one of the fun songs. It's very GPS related. It's kind of catchy as heck.
I've got it on my MP3 player, and I don't know how many times I'm thinking, man, who's this Andrew guy? Because he seems pretty cool.
Andrew's the main character, along with Bob, and it's funny, the very first day we were shooting, we were out in the middle of nowhere, as we were for most of the film, Paul started singing this little jingle that he's going on the GPS hunt with Andrew, and he's like, I'm going to make a song out of that. And no, he did. So we integrated it into the film.
All right, well, I appreciate you taking the time, and like I said before, I apologize for not getting Skype to work. It probably would have been a better sound quality, but as soon as Mike Griffin told me about it, we had lunch one day, and he says, oh, you gotta find, do a podcast on that. I said, I'll check it out.
Appreciate it. There's no, we've just now started contacting all the radio and TV, so yeah, that's where our next push is. Right now, I've been swamped with the game, trying to make sure everything's up and running and going well with that.
We really don't know the release date, though, right?
Release date should be later this year. The official date hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
Watch the website, and we'll announce it as soon as we know.
All right. Well, thanks again, Eric, and we'll look forward to seeing the movie.
Yeah, check it out.
All right. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you a lot. Bye.
Well, thank you, Eric, for taking the time to discuss the movie. GPS movie is currently in post-production. Release date has not been determined yet. You can visit the movie's website at www.gpsthemovie.com and the game website at www.gpsthegame.com. Additional links can also be found in my show notes at podcast.geostl.com. That's it for this podcast. Have a nice summer and watch out for that poison ivy.